Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And we are back. It's Friday, man.
It is Friday.
And my brain is fried today.
Yeah, agreed. This is what happens when we do 10 in a row.
10 episodes in a row. Yeah. But this is going to be a cool episode, and I'm excited to talk about it because we're talking about new sets today, baby.
New sets, new characters, new ideas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it, man.
Well, we left off yesterday with a cliffhanger on Irulan's comments.
John, I'm lost. Which minutes are we talking about?
Oh, well, I was going to get to that, Zach. Zach, today we are talking about minutes 99 through 100. Happy 100th episode of this season of the Dune Minute Podcast.
Man, we're really doing quantity over quality, aren't we?
That's not true.
No, I'm just kidding. Of course it's not true. Happy 100, buddy.
Some of the episodes last week, we definitely kind of phoned in, I think. But, you know,
they're not all perfect.
Last week was kind of a shitty week for the movie, so I feel like it can be a shitty week for the podcast. I want to take a few minutes and get a little sappy here.
Okay.
Because, we got sappy on our previous 100 episode, and we got sappy on our 200th total. And, this has been a fun project. It's been a good time talking about Dune. And,
the real jihad was the friends we made along
Shut
the way.
Shut up. Shut the fuck up.
Yes, it's been a wonderful, wonderful time. Just about every Sunday for the past year, I've been sitting on your couch recording Dune.
It's been more than a year since we've been recording at my house.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been great, man. I'm assuming you're pulling up some stats.
I'm just looking.
Just looking. I know
we shared some stats pretty recently. So
yeah. We don't need to get into it, man. Yeah. It's all sappy. Let's just get through this one.
Yeah. But to the people that are listening, thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This has been so much fun. We got about 60 more, just shy of 60 more in this movie. So a whole hour's worth of movie left.
Thereabouts.
Yep.
But yes, we are talking about minute 99 through 100, and we left off with a little bit of a cliffhanger in Irulan's eighth comment for the year 10,191. So I'm going to just finish that out. Yesterday, the sentence was, "With religious fervor rising in the south and Muad'Dib strangling spice production in the north, everything points to the escalation of war."
Yeah. And this, you were right yesterday. This is where we get the full glimpse of Jessica in her full Reverend Mother attire, looking badass.
She looks a little pissed, too. She's got that very stern Rebecca Ferguson face going on.
Yeah, I think she's in work mode right now.
She's in being piloted by a fully conscious fetus mode.
Right. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Probably. So we have our theory about, Alia being kind of the one in charge when it comes to the religious fervor and stuff. And we're going to kind of see a little bit of that, because Alia is going to be the one with the questions here.
Yeah.
In this coming scene. So, that's right. Before we get into Alia's questions, we cut to something small moving under the sand.
Oh, it looks pretty big to me.
Some would say it's too big.
It's all right. Look, it was moving just fine. All right.
But it's moving under the sand quickly.
Yes.
And we get a little bit of a wider shot, and we see a little tiny Shai Hulud under the sand still this whole time, mm-hmm. just kind of doing circles in its pen.
Yeah.
So to speak. There's a little sandbox. It's, down some stairs in this giant round room.
It's moving like a mole would move under your yard.
It is. Yeah. And I'm going to break continuity here real quick and talk about Smart and Soul Notes, because we're here talking about this. This is 100% a practical effect.
Oh, cool.
It is a little, Art and Soul doesn't show the model of the worm that they use, but they show the tracks that were buried under the sand as well. And it's essentially just a little, what looks like a little worm that is being pulled along on a track system. And then it just kind of dives under the sand. And what we also see is a little bit of a goof from the props department here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So it's a track system under the sand. But in order to prevent the mechanics under this set from getting too fucked up by the sand, they have a blanket laid over this track system. And as this model worm is moving underneath, you can kind of see the edges of the blanket like kick up above the sand very briefly.
Okay.
Not something you would notice on a first watch or maybe even a second unless someone pointed it out to you. But
interesting.
Because I'm insane and I watched this movie 5 seconds at a time, I saw it and I thought it would be worth pointing out.
I'll have to go back and look for that.
Yeah. But we get some Chocobsa from a new voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, only one at a time, or they fight each other to the death. And this person is what I would call the keeper.
Well, titles, or the credits, excuse me.
Okay.
Titles is as the maker keeper, so you were correct.
Okay, cool.
And this is played by Alison Halstead. Her biggest role outside of Dune is that she did a lot of voices for the Cyberpunk 2077 games.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, so she's big into those. Also does a fair amount of stage acting.
Yep.
With the most recent, or at least as of this recording, most recent play being opposite of Sir Ian McKellen in Hamlet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So a pretty big production there.
All right. Oh, Hamlet, 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 Hamlet! The vampires are attacking the city.
And she's great. She's a really, really awesome actress.
Yeah.
Just from what we've seen. I've not seen
her. I mean, if you're doing stage productions of Hamlet with Ian McKellen.
Sure.
I feel like you've got to be pretty fucking good.
Yeah. I've admittedly have not seen her in anything else because her actual list of like on-screen credits is pretty small.
Yeah.
It's only like 4 or 5 things. But she kills it in this movie.
Yeah.
Quite literally.
Well, not yet.
Not yet. We'll get there.
But Jessica asks, how old? And her only response is, very young.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jessica says, my daughter asks, how is it done?
Well, she does say that. But before she says that, Jessica just goes,
Yeah. doing her inter-body
translation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Intra-body translation.
Yeah, that's probably better. Yeah.
And then the Maker Keeper, you know, begins to walk down.
Not fazed by this at all, by the way.
Yeah. No, she's just like, whatever.
And he's like, you've been working with Reverend Mothers long enough, you get to see some weird shit. I don't know. Your daughter's talking
it's
to
all
him.
It's all the same to me.
Hey, listen, I take care of the worms. I kill the worms. I get the juice. That's all I do.
And then, you know, we were talking about laugh lines from last week and this week. I like this one a lot because the Maker Keeper starts working her way down and just kind of like looks down on her belly and just goes quiet.
I love it. It's so funny.
I just want to know what snarky shit Alia is saying at this point. Because the way that Jessica says quiet is the way that your parents like talk to you when you're fucking up or you're doing something that you're not supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
But the rest of our minute here is no dialogue. Mm-hmm. We see the Maker Keeper, you know, take off her, I called it a scarf. It's a super loose fabric, like scarf kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
She tosses that on the ground and kind of 1 foot at a time sneaks her way into the sandbox.
She's walking like a sumo wrestler does, like in the pen.
Super low to the ground.
Very, like in a crouched, very, very stable stance.
And she smacks the sand, and it's that that really nice drum sand sound.
Mm-hmm.
And she's looking around, eyes are darting all over the place. We cut up to Jessica, and she's like staring down the whole thing.
Yeah.
And we get another smack on the ground. And just a little more looking around and our minute ends there.
That's right, man. What a cliffhanger. Another cliffhanger for this week.
But a great place to leave off.
Yes.
Because
yes,
our episodes next week are going to be pretty cool.
Yep. I'm sad to say that this doesn't happen in the books. The only allusion to this is that we get Jessica saying, bring me some raw water of life. And then she is brought raw water of life. There's no, you know, elucidation of how they get it or, you know, killing the baby worm. Mm-hmm. They talk about that happening and that is how it happens, but it's not really something that's done too much. Unless I missed a complete chapter, which is possible.
Well, we'll explore more of that when it pops up in the movie next week. So
that's all book notes I got. What do you think of this week?
I definitely like this week a lot more than last week.
Agreed.
If I had to Shai Hulud this week, bearing in mind the Glow Globe tax, because it is there, I would probably give this one about a 6, 6.5. Leaning more towards 6.5, okay, just because we're getting some movement now.
Yeah.
You know, last week, one of my big criticisms was that it was 5 minutes worth of movie content that could have been condensed down into like one or two.
Yeah.
This one needed the time, you know, having Paul actually get to the Atomics and then Irulan give us the catch up to what's going on down in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And then our introduction to the Maker Temple and the Maker Keeper and everything that she's doing, that needed its own time and
absolutely,
you know, everything that was going on there. Beefs aside with production of the film and, you know, little bits and pieces here and there that, you know, are little goofs or whatever, I still think this was a very good week. It's very lore driven and very like moving the story forward,
mm-hmm,
in a much more accelerated way than last week's was.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm being much more generous with my score.
Sure.
And also, we got a mini Glow Globe.
That was good. That helps. That helps a lot.
Yeah.
I'm going to be more generous than I was last week. I'm not going to be as generous as you are.
Okay.
I'm coming in at a 5 on this one.
That's fair.
This feels like a solid middle of the road set of minutes. The good and the bad balance themselves out, I feel like. All the stuff with Irulan, you know, her voiceover, I love our new theory about this. I love that. Getting to see the Maker Temple is awesome. Jessica continues to be cool as hell. We get quippy Aaliyah, your quips from Aaliyah.
Aaliyah still?
Quips from Aaliyah. So that's all good stuff. But
you can never give me shit for Rabin again.
That's fine. I will. I don't like what they're doing with Gurney. I don't like what they're doing with Chani. I don't like what they're doing with Stilgar.
Yeah.
They're forcing those characters that are complex characters into archetypes and just one note songs.
Yeah.
And that is the bad, which outweighs the good, or not wait, it equals the good in this one. So 5 straight down the middle for me.
Okay. I get that. I'm always generous when it comes to Glow Globes though. So
that's, I mean, true. That was part of the good. I mean, it was great.
Well, I think after this marathon recording session, that's a good place to wrap it.
I think so.
We'll be back on Monday with more episodes of the Dune Minute. But in the meantime, you can find us online. We are on BlueSky at DuneMinute.com. And you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us. We'll see you next week. Have a good weekend.
See ya.